Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, here with you this morning on a beautiful Houston morning. Going to be 70 degrees. This is the place to be, people, no matter what you want to do. Seth Greenberg is going to join us at 7:45 to talk college basketball. Todd Callis is going to join us at 9:30 right here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 to talk about our Houston Astros. And I don't know if you probably don't have this, RJ. So, I mean, is Joe Kelly the gift that just keeps on giving? Is Joe Kelly like one of the worst people in all? He's turning into, to me, like one of the worst of all people. Here's Joe Kelly on the WBC. The guy got hurt having fun celebrating with teammates. Who gives a shit? It is what it is, Joe Kelly. Shut up, Joe Kelly. Just shut up. I mean, I can't stand that face. I can't. Joe Kelly is becoming one of the most. Honestly, is there any redeeming quality? He sucks at pitching too. By the way, he's not any good.
He was terrible last
year. Yeah, he's got to tell us everything that he thinks all the time.
Joe Kelly is. He's got some Dylan Brooks. Only Dylan Brooks is can play. Joe Kelly can't even play.
He can't pitch. No, Dylan Brooks is...
Joe Kelly's turned into... It's not the same, but he's turned into like when we kept having to hear from John Rocker all the time. When John Rocker was the dominant pitcher.
That was special, though.
Well, yeah.
I guarantee you, if I was at a World Baseball Classic, number one, America would absolutely be the best.
Well, they won last year.
Yeah, you're damn right.
That's a question.
Well, yeah, but you weren't on him.
Yeah, I would have made him more dominant. Like, did they lose any games? I guarantee I could still go out there and close at the age of 40, whatever I am. I definitely could go out there and just blow heat by all of those Chinese people or Mexicans or whatever. Whatever they are, I absolutely would throw gas right past any Mexican player or Puerto Rican or whoever. Puerto Ricans need to get out of our country.
Well, and you know what? Losing that game, though, the American team did lose the game, so they don't have the home field advantage tonight against Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Japan has home field advantage because they're undefeated in the WBC.
I don't care if they're undefeated.
In case you didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. They're undefeated because they have John Rocker throwing left-hand gas at them. How many left-hand fastball pitchers do you see in the world? None. They're all a bunch of weak curveball guys like that Mexican guy you guys have, Framber. That guy's terrible. He's throwing a bunch of hooks. I mean, be a man. Stop being big puss throwing a bunch of little soft curveballs out there. Like, what is this? You playing Nerf ball or something, man? You playing wiffle ball? I mean, come out here and throw some gas. I'm tired of all this
stuff. How many people don't know who John Rocker is?
God, I don't know. You don't know John Rocker was a guy who made some fairly racist commentary against the city of New York.
Sports Illustrated.
And I used to do it.
Sports Illustrated.
Was a big deal. Yeah. And so I used to do John Rocker imitation. That's kind of the stuff that Rocker, in a very stereotypical way, would say. Like all these Mexicans and Chinese people or whatever. Well, it's Japanese and there's other Latin American. Puerto Ricans are get out of our country. Well, Puerto Rico is not. It's actually part of us.
Joe Kelly goes on to say this. Hey, listen to what Joe Kelly says. Who gives a shit? It was very unfortunate. It is what it is, man. I can get hurt driving home and get paralyzed and break my neck in a car accident. It doesn't matter. People are always going to give an excuse. If you have an excuse saying like, "Oh, he shouldn't have played." Shut up, dude. Just shut your mouth.
See, his opinion's like mine, but I don't like it the way it sounds coming out of your mouth with that voice. And all the extra he throws in there like, "Shut up, shut your mouth." I'm just saying,
shut your mouth.
No, you could get hurt anywhere. He's like, "Anyone can happen anywhere, man. Just shut your mouth, dude. You stupid idiot." Like, Joe, listen, you're making it really.
It doesn't matter. That's not why they got hurt. It could have happened game one of the playoffs, or it could have happened game one of opening day, or him jumping, and if his cartilage was already weak, if it could have ripped. It's just an. I just think what an a-hole. What an a-hole Joe Kelly is. We started the show with Joe Kelly for the first time. Now, maybe not the first time. Remember his face, that face thing he did at Carlos Correa? That might have been the first time we started it. We are starting it this morning with the Houston Texans. While it was just a throwaway this morning, actually, it was just a little blurb at the, in the last page of the sports page in the Houston Chronicle this morning. Dalton Schultz and Devin Singletary. Interesting signings in that they actually lured Schultz away for, with over $10 million that he'll be getting. Three point something for Devin Singletary. Devin Singletary is a guy, they've already signed Mike Boone, but Devin Singletary is a guy that'll be a nice little change of pace, I think, from
Damian Pierce. Those are two fantastic signings. Those are like surprising signings to me because now you've got, like, you had Dalton Schultz, who's a nice pass-catching tight end. Like, he's turned into a much better player than I expected.
Yeah.
Dalton Schultz was a big part of what Dak needed last year, which was a reliable second-level, first-level, you know, target between the hashes and is athletic, can get out in space. You don't have to. So you lost Jordan Akins, which I don't think you probably cared about. But Dalton Schultz, clearly, Bobby Slowick says, yeah, this is a guy we need to have because he can block and he can catch passes. Like in Bobby Slowick's offense and the San Francisco offense and the Kyle Shanahan model, whatever, you want dual threat tight ends. You don't want just a Y or you don't want just a move tight end. In a perfect world, you like Owen Daniels, who can do both.
Yeah.
And that's what Dalton Schultz is.
So,
I think he's a lot like Owen Daniels.
Yeah, I do too. I think he's the best tight end that the Texans have had
Devin Singletary is legit.
Play. Yeah, he can play.
Devin, they had a bad offensive line over there. They had one that doesn't run
block
great. They
never committed to the run there.
They never committed. Devin Singletary is one of the best make-you-miss guys, and Damian Pierce is one of the best run-over-you guys. Yeah, yeah. So they got two guys who can create for themselves based on two different types of skill sets. I love this. I love this dual running back threatening. Your third guy can play special teams and catch passes on third down out of the backfield if need be, and Mike Boone. And, you know, Devin Singletary can do that. So, yeah, man, those are two. Like, the first few signings, like, okay, I get it. These are the two most important signings you made.
No.
They're in second wave.
I agree. This is the kind of signings that I think this is the kind of signings that I was talking about. They're names. They're not really big names. They're you know, and it's a $10 million, it's a $3 million deal. It's not like big splashes. It's only 1 year again, which isn't great, but they might like it here. Here's the deal is maybe the Texans are going to show some signs of life. Maybe they're going to be able to retain them because they actually like the city of Houston. We'll see. I don't know. Dalton Schultz has been in Dallas. Maybe he's a Dallas. Maybe he's a Chach now. I don't know. He spent so much time there. I have no idea.
Well, let me just tell you, this is clear now. The Texans are playing the free agency game to me. They're playing a compensatory pick game. Because with the amount of players they're signing to one or deals they can get out of 1 year, like a Dalton Schultz, he signed 1 year, $9 million. If he leaves the Texans, if they don't sign him, he's going to sign a pretty good deal for more than 1 year,
yeah.
And that's going to elevate the opportunity.
Maybe
to
it's
get
interesting, though, that
like
he only
a fourth.
Got 1 year here. That's interesting.
Well, I think it's, like I said, it's agents right now, they're waiting for that cap to go up. So they're waiting for the bigger deal. The market is suppressed right now. There's been a lot of discussion about that the market is not what people thought it was going to be because the agents are looking for a certain number that they're going to get, and the agents also know, well, if we don't get it, the cap's coming up, and it's like we're going to get it.
Yep.
So let's just see about getting our guys one-year deals, which if you're the Texans, the reason you're signing these guys and one-year deals, if they walk and you sign fewer free agents next year – you're going to be in line for compensatory picks. And I don't know if any of these guys are going to qualify, if anybody on your roster would leave and qualify for a third-round compensatory pick. Those are the high-dollar guys. But Dalton Schultz would probably qualify for a fourth or a fifth. So you could end up seeing about three comp picks next year, potentially, especially if you draft. You're going to have the draft picks this year, so you won't have to go to free agency as much next year. That's to me, this is clearly what Nick Caserio is doing right now is – he's going to end up getting additional draft picks, not this in this year's draft, but in next year's draft after everyone's gone. I think he's going to end up getting it.
Well, you lost your best pass catching tight end in Jordan Akins. He moved on.
We used to have Brevin Jordan and Brevin Quateriano.
Yeah. You lost your best pass-catching tight end in Jordan Akins. I don't think there's any question about that.
He was gone already and just came back and had a couple games. Like, he's better than either of those two. He's with Cleveland. Yeah.
Listen, a young quarterback depends a lot on his tight end. A young quarterback, that's a safety valve for a lot of young guys that come into the league. You know, they can't get the ball outside. They make reads, hurry reads. The tight end, and a lot of times, is the closest guy to him, whatever, over the middle of the field. I think it's really nice to have a good pass-catching guy, a veteran guy that can teach the kid something, too.
I'm telling you, it's going to be – I think we'll see if Brevin Jordan can get it done, but I think it's going to be Tegan Quateriano and Schultz, because Tegan played in the outside zone scheme at Oregon State. Same running scheme that Bobby Sloak's probably going to run. Then you've got – and they did that at Dallas, and Tegan can block a little better than Brevin Jordan can. So it's going to be a competition probably between those two. I don't think they'll draft tight end. But they could, because it's only a 1-year deal for Dalton Schultz. Still draft. Like, there's, you know, Schoonmaker from Michigan. I love him. I think he's going to second round, but I don't think you draft him 33rd. So my guess is if they draft a tight end, Josh Weil from Cincinnati, maybe in the mid rounds, like, they could still look at a tight end. They could look at this as, like, Quateriano would fit as a third. They may look at Brevin Jordan and say, well, that was Nick Cassero's pick, actually, but Nick may, even after two, this will be the third year with Brevin Jordan. He, after 3 years, he could say, eh.
Was it Schoonmaker that got hurt? I know they had a tight end that got hurt. Was it last year or the year before? Maybe it was the year before.
I think it was the year before.
It was the year before.
I don't think Schoonmaker.
If Schultz gives you 577 and five touchdowns?
Oh, I'd be fine with that.
I'd be fine with that.
I might like a little more, actually, out of a rookie. Because I think if it's a rookie.
He's going to probably split a lot of. He ain't going to be.
We think a rookie quarterback starting here, right?
Yep.
Yeah, because we think it's going to be one of the top two.
Right. Right.
Mel Kiper now has C.J. Stroud still. The only one, Schefter, if you missed it. Schefter, for some reason, made a vague reference to he believes right now, for right now, Bryce Young is the guy. Which, you know, that's fine. I mean,
Bryce
Young
is for the guy for the Texans or for the Panthers?
No, for the Panthers. Yeah. And for us, but he didn't really give anything behind it. He just, we had the sound yesterday.
He didn't even say, I'm hearing.
Do we still have that sound? RJ, do you still have the sound of?
Yeah, Adam Schefter was just talking about how the process is. He didn't say anything of, I'm hearing from the Panthers organization.
Listen to this soundbite. RJ, let us know when you find it. We had it yesterday, but it was a very vague. Here's Adam Schefter. While everything's been about C.J. Stroud, Adam Schefter came with a different angle.
And I think going into the process of evaluating the quarterbacks, I think that Bryce Young is the favorite to become the number one overall pick, and they will go in with an open.
Well, wait a minute. Really? Stop it there. He didn't see. Adam Schefter depends a lot on, I'm hearing, this is what is being said. I've got an inside source. I'm reporting. He said, I think.
He said going into the process.
I think.
Right. Going into the process is another thing. He says Bryce Young is the number one pick. Well, the process can be interviews on the whiteboard. It could be assessment of the process could be, okay, now we get coaches involved. You know, we've got our grades. The scouts and the GM have our grades. Now let's get the coaches involved. So there's room for leeway. When you just say going into the process, that means there's a lot of room for leeway in terms of what happens. But it does sound like he's saying, like, Bryce Young to me is clearly the top quarterback off the film tape, off the film grade.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's still, we'll run it back and play it from the beginning. I still think it, you come away from this, and it sounds like he thinks it's Bryce Young, but if you really dig into, really read between the lines, there's no certainty here. Play it again.
And I think going into the process of evaluating the quarterbacks, I think that Bryce Young is the favorite to become the number one overall pick, and they will go in with an really.
Yeah, that's. Let's live there for just a second if we can, because some people have thought maybe Anthony Richardson climbed into that conversation after the combine.
C.J. Stroud.
You're hearing C.J. Stroud, especially with that offensive line.
Going into the process, I think, let me say it this way, I think Bryce Young is to the Panthers what Mac Jones was to the 49ers when they traded up. They traded up with the idea that they really liked Mac Jones, and then they went through the process and wound up on Trey Lance.
Okay.
But I think in this particular.
So he's basically likening this to Now, Shefty, you'd have to assume that he got all this information from San Francisco and that they started off with Mac Jones and it became Trey Lance. It was not a situation of just smoke that was out there where it was going to be Mac Jones. And I mean, that it was always Trey Lance and he just wanted people to think it was Mac Jones. So, so it's going to be interesting to see. His comment basically was, you know, going into the process,
right,
it's Bryce Young, but it could be a Mac Jones situation. Well, that makes it sound like it's going to be C.J. Stroud if he said basically it's a Mac Jones situation with the 49ers, because we know they ended up on a different quarterback.
Yeah, right. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number. I can't see them going up and getting anybody, doing put all the stuff that they gave up, anybody but Bryce Young. I just can't. Bryce Young will not be there for the Houston Texans at number two. All right. 713-780-3776.
Wait, Bryce Young will not be?
He will not be there for the Texans at number
so
two.
So you think Bryce Young will be the first, not C.J. Stroud?
Okay. He will be the first. All right, I want to talk right now about...
I don't like that.
...to roofers. I want to talk to you if you are a management company, you're managing apartment buildings, you're managing homes. I want to talk to you if you're a plumber. You see a lot of damage in homes. You see water. You see leaks, that roof leaks or pipe leaks for you plumbers out there. If you're managing the homes or the apartment buildings and you're like, oh, my God, goodness, this is going to be, you know, we're not going to be able to save anything. This is unsavable here. Hold on. I mean, we had some damage at our house, and it's happened. I got Daniel told me about a woman who came home after a week off, and her whole house, they had a foot of water throughout the entire house, and she's crying. She's distraught, and then she was crying when he left after about a 3 weeks later that he had saved everything. She was happy crying, not sad crying. Look, Resto Pros are awesome. They're unbelievable. And the best part of it was that they work with the insurance company to help you get everything that you deserve when you're trying to pay for it all. So if you're looking for that restoration company, there's one place to go as far as I'm concerned. They're awesome. 975restoration.com, 975restoration.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, tonight, the champion. How excited are you for the championship?
Excited.
So
we're going back-to-back.
So for those of you who didn't hear, last night, Japan is trailing in the ninth inning.
Mm-hmm.
Trailing. And we're in the bottom of the ninth inning. And here is the call.
Murakami! Murakami! Murakami!
Just sounded like mass hysteria in there. How many people were in the booth?
I had like 30.
I heard three it's different like voices.
It's like one of my buddy's sweets during a game.
Yeah. Well, but I guess the U.S. broadcast, you'd have, you know, there's usually on TV at least, there's three broadcast, three on the big games.
Well, okay.
A lot of times
just
there's three.
So you could understand what happened. Here is the American call.
Bacon for everybody!
No, RJ,
that wasn't.
Nice, RJ.
RJ.
Was that Reese Davis on the call?
Reese Davis had the call. Actually, it was a Fox broadcast. it was the wrong one, RJ. It wasn't bacon for everybody.
Well, that was the call.
That was a good one, though. Here's the call.
Without bacon.
In America.
Japan is playing to win this game right here, right now. Yukio Shuto, the winning run. Munetaka Murakami just has not looked comfortable at the plate at all.
He's been thinking about this moment for 6 years now.
He's too good.
Too good.
Even if he hasn't looked great tonight. There he goes, looks back at Ohtani. The pitch is hit to left center field. Hit very well, and it is off the wall.
So that one was a little more understandable. It wasn't nearly as crazy as the other call. I don't think we were as excited here as they were in Japan.
And no, not even remotely close.
No. And so it is. We're playing tonight, and Shohei is available. He can come in relief. So you got to watch that. He will not start the game for Japan, but he can come in relief. So
we got little league rules in the World Baseball Classic to make sure you can't have a certain amount of.
No, you can't. No, there's no.
Well, they do have the innings. They do have the pitch totals. I mean, they have. There's rules out there to prevent you from
over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overusing your guy. You have a lot more.
That's what I heard.
Classic.
That's what somebody told me on Twitter. I think.
Is that what happened? Yeah. I didn't know that you have a pitch count like Little League.
You can't
in Little League. It's 75 pitches.
These games end at either six innings or at 2 hours.
No, because they have to start. That's Little League. That's not World Baseball Classic.
And the home of the brave. Okay, don't forget, guys. Make sure and return those foul balls for snow cones.
Snow cones after the game.
Make sure and return your foul balls up to the plate, Kyle Tucker.
How
Post Oak Little League. Kyle Tucker definitely would have played at Post Oak Little League.
Now, Miami can't be all that thrilled with it. It's in Miami.
Yeah.
That Japan advanced and not Mexico.
Yeah.
And America advanced and not Cuba.
Yeah. They would have loved Cuba to advance. Cuba's just not good enough.
No, Cuba got their ass handed to them. By the way, yeah.
No, Jordan, no Yuli. How are you going to win?
Story this morning. They're none too pleased with the Cubans today in Cuba.
Oh, really?
Okay, yeah, that's a dangerous thing to lose a baseball game.
No, Jordan, no Yuli. What are you going to do? And then Altuve, look, I hate for him to get hit by the curse. He didn't leave the Astros, but he did leave America. When you leave the Astros, bad things happen to you or your team. And then Altuve left and went to Venezuela and his team, and all of a sudden bad things happen. The curse doesn't know. Hey, curse, he's still an Astro. And the curse is like, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I just thought we were supposed to hurt people or hurt their teammates whenever they leave the Astros.
Right.
Or make them play bad. Well, no, curse, listen, we love that you do that. But not Altuve. This is just World Baseball Classic. John doesn't care about World Baseball Classic.
No, I don't care about World Baseball.
America doesn't.
Nobody,
according
America
to
doesn't
John.
Care about it. I was on with Nate this morning on Channel 26. I did thought about it afterwards. I said, you know, it's the World Baseball Classic. We don't care about it here. It's on Fox Sports 1. I forgot. Oh, crap, that's your sister.
Yeah, not only that, but station. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of Latin American fans, natives
not
here
anymore.
In the United States.
Not, well, they ain't watching this. U.S. versus Japan.
Well, they may be out on this one. Maybe, maybe not. We watch, like, World Cup finals that don't involve the U.S.
because
they don't exist.
Because
it doesn't exist.
It never involves.
Now, do I watch Olympic?
Otherwise, we wouldn't watch any World Cup.
Now, do I watch, have I watched, of course, it's been, like, since Argentina, but did I watch the finals? I think I did, actually, but when the U.S. wasn't involved in men's basketball in the gold medal game. I actually think I did, but that would be when Argentina won it.
You're a unicorn then.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Argentina won it, and the U.S. they won a bronze.
Hmm.
But maybe I didn't watch that.
Maybe
but
didn't.
I think I did, but I can't remember who they played.
A lot of people are asking, was that a female golfer or food? It was not. It was the Japanese call. It had nothing to do with female golfers or food for everybody out there. It had nothing to do with female golfers or food, just so everybody knows, okay? People still want the game show sweeping the nation. They still are.
I mean, if you
want to,
if you want to fire it out there,
I might my last day. I might.
Yeah. Well, let me leave the segment before.
You'll know if I'm playing male golf or female golf or food. It's
you're
my
leaving.
Last day at the station.
You're leaving.
Just so you know. All right.
And there are a bunch of cuts coming at Disney. Are you sure you want to before the cuts come that you want to play that game?
No, I don't want to play that game. No, Disney does. Disney does not like male golfer, female golfer food, I'm afraid. Tom, you know what? Then, you know what? I'd have to sue them if they did anything. You know what? John Daspit.
John Daspit, well, that's not a personal injury, but if somebody hurt your feelings, maybe. I don't know that John Daspit's going to take a case where somebody hurt your feelings. He understands the law, and he understands hurt feelings. Probably not something you can sue over, even though everyone seems to believe it's an actionable offense. I don't believe it is. But when people are actually hurt on the job, when people are doing dangerous work and someone else's negligence causes, like, the refinery blast that he, you know, unfortunately, he's had to cover that. And there were some really, really bad injuries and worse. And that happens on a regular basis. You wouldn't believe how often people lose loved ones on the roadways, things like that, through negligence of others. And John Daspit and his law firm are there to step in and help you. It's about more than just, you know, the physical therapy and any hospital bills and time off that you end up getting taken care of, your bills, so that you're not coming out of pocket. But he also is taking care of in cases, you know, where someone, loved ones are lost, unfortunately, due to serious accidents. And he will make sure that the family is taken care of and compensated for that, because that's something that the insurance companies need to do, and they need to be right by the people who are on the other side. And their job, you know, they see it as they're going to squeeze you. Well, John Daspit's job is to squeeze back, and that's what his law firm is going to do for you. That's the guy you want on your side. He is the biggest law firm in personal injury here in the city of Houston. Make sure that you call him, 713-322-HURT. Put the number in your phone if you need to, 713-322-HURT, or go to DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, time for me to talk about Chastang Ford. If you're looking for the best way to get into that truck, I'm telling you, I every morning I get out, I love my truck. I got stopped yesterday by a cop. Well, my truck was in the driveway. He stopped and he was asking me about it. Spoon was over there. And he's asking me about, you know, hey, that's electric, huh? That's awesome, awesome, awesome. Listen, the electric trucks are tough to get, but the F-150 just is fantastic. I don't care what F-150, F-250, F-350 you get. It's the best truck on the market. It's the number one selling truck here. And the number one commercial dealer for Ford in the city of Houston. You know how many trucks they go through at Chastang Ford? You know how many trucks they sell, service, everything else that they do, customize for whatever business it is, customize it exactly how you want it. You order it, you get it exactly as you want it. That's what Chastang Ford does. And they get you at the price that you need to be at. So if you're looking for the best way to get into that Ford car or truck, there's only one place to go in my mind, and that's Chastang Ford. It's the best dealership in the city. I'm going to buy all my trucks, all my cars from Chastang Ford from here on out. ChastangFord.com or on 610 at Homestead.Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. 713-780-3776 to hang out with us here on the show. Anthony wants to get in. By the way, Seth Greenberg is going to join us in about 15 minutes here to talk about them Cougs. How about them Cougs? What's going on, Anthony?
All right, dude, so you tell me I got 15 minutes to talk? No, I'm just kidding. Johnny Granati, it's always a great day whenever I get to talk to you.
What's up? Always, what do you want to talk about?
Always. Well, I want to talk about a lot of stuff, dude. Here we go. Stop talking about the Texans, man. Texans ain't going nowhere and no place soon.
Okay, that's ever. Our home team, Anthony. Appreciate you. That's our home team, buddy. We're going to talk, especially when they make picks and whatnot.
What's he talking about?
I don't know, but it sounded like Anthony had a couple this morning.
Is Anthony saying they're not leaving the city or they're not worth talking about?
That's our home team, buddy. That's our NFL team here. We're going to continue to talk about them.
Granati. I don't know what you're even thinking.
Johnny Granati. 713-780-3776 is the number. I think Anthony had a few pops this morning.
You think everyone has pops when they have bad.
Anthony sometimes, sounded like he was slurring a little bit.
Well, sometimes it's just how people talk. Oh. Sometimes people just don't make great comments.
it wasn't Anthony's best call.
Sports talk.
That wasn't Anthony's best call. But
I don't have him rated, but
listen,
undrafted free agent.
Hey, I was criticizing them when they're picking up. I call them the Christian Kirksey process that they're going through. Uh-huh. I like these signings.
Yeah, they're not. I know. I understand people are not going to be excited about 1 year. This is kind of a dual thing. Like, the agents aren't looking to sign long-term deal. Unless you're going to give somebody 3 years, they're not really that interested anymore, especially if you're Dalton Schultz. Dalton Schultz wants 3-4 years. He wants it at his number. If no one's going to give it to him, you sign a one-year deal where you can play, where you got a chance to get a lot of catches. By the way, you look at the lineup, you look at the wide receiver roster, you got a chance to get catches here.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're Dalton Schultz, and especially if there's a young quarterback who, like you say, it's, you know, it's, those are safety blankets, tight ends. And it's a good offense for tight ends as well.
So somebody put out the Anthony must be on Japanese time celebrating. Could be. Sounded like a little slurring to me, but that's all right. I'm not going to criticize. All I'm saying is you shouldn't be on the air. I know I shouldn't have been on the air some mornings. I know that.
Super Bowl 2004.
Here's what Mr. Yes is the best part of the Schultz deal is keeping the Texans from getting silly and drafting a tight end at number 12. I disagree with that. If the best football player is going to be – listen, there have been some great tight ends who have made huge impacts on teams lately. And if one of these tight ends is going to and especially you really like a couple of these guys this year. And I wouldn't – would you be opposed if – I mean, if they got – if he turns into somebody special, a tight end at number 12, that's not a terrible pick.
No, it wouldn't be a terrible pick. I just don't think it's a likely pick right now. But, no, absolutely not. I think these tight ends are really good. I think there's like four tight ends that are really good, and they've got guys in the middle rounds that I think could be good, like a guy who would fit this offense, a guy named Brenton Strange out of Penn State. I think you can get him in the fourth or fifth round, yeah, and he would fit this offense.
Well, not number 12 overall is what I'm talking.
No, but 12 overall, guys, if you got Dalton, you know, you could get Dalton Kincaid. You could get Musgrave maybe a little early at 12, even though I think his talent's there. Michael Mayer, you could get there. He's a dual threat type of, you know. Because what happens is in that offense, sometimes they like to, like Gary liked to run two tight end sets because you can run out of it. But if you got pass-catching tight ends, all of a sudden – you got guys who can go out. It looks like a run-heavy,
yeah,
you know, 12 personnel. And before you know it, you got four guys out in a route. And you can maybe mismatch, especially in this day and age where if you drafted Dalton Kincaid, good pass catching tight end.
I mean, I'm not
putting
him on Travis Kelce, but you see how they use it. And it's amazing, amazing how open that guy is a lot of times.
Well, Travis Kelce is going to end up being a special, special player. But I still think that there's a reason Bill – Belichick for the last like 15 years has been trying to find two tight ends. I remember he first did it with Garrett, somebody out of, he had a Texas tight end and a Tulsa tight end. Then he went Aaron Hernandez and Gronk. And
that worked out pretty well.
Actually, that was a great combination until Aaron Rodgers.
Great people.
Aaron Hernandez did his Aaron Hernandez stuff. But Aaron Hernandez is a really good player. Like, he knew what he was doing. Two different types of tight ends. He knew what he was doing. Belichick has always figured out this is a really this is a interesting time to use two tight end sets, and other teams have figured it out too because you can vary what you're going to do.
Off the beaten path, on that same note, you see that the Patriots might be on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I did. Doesn't
that
surprise
would
me.
Be. How about that division?
Doesn't surprise me.
What about that division with quarterbacks? If the Patriots get Lamar Jackson. With Aaron Rodgers, and listen,
Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers,
as critical as I've been, Nick Caserio set the tone from now on with guys wanting to leave. You give me the package first, and then you can talk to my guy. That the Jets and that the Packers didn't make the Jets do that, and now they're sitting here in a stalemate is just the dumbest thing ever. When Nick Caserio, he set the tone, he set the precedent for how deals should be done with players who are malcontents on their team. You want to talk to my guy? Okay, you can talk to him as soon as we got a deal done.
Yeah, you're going to get pre-qualified.
That's right.
You're getting pre-qualified. Let's get Keith in here. He wants to talk about Lamar Jackson. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Appreciate you guys always replying to my tweets. So you mentioned Lamar to the Patriots, but Schefter retweeted an article last night from Stephen Holder saying the Indianapolis Colts aren't ruling out Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of that?
Well, no, we've been talking about that for a while. He's perfect. It's either the Colts or, well, now the Patriots.
Patriots make sense.
Yeah, the Patriots make sense. And there was,
Colts make a lot of sense because they kind of need to win. Like, you don't have to say they're going to win now, but if you assume the first two picks are quarterbacks, then the Colts are stuck with Anthony Richardson or Levis. Those guys aren't ready to play.
The two teams that were most likely were the Colts and the Commanders.
Yeah.
Those were the two most likely. Now the Patriots move into this. But the Colts, if the Colts get him, you know what? Say goodbye to the division for a while. Lamar Jackson's got his.
Well, unless he gets hurt. I mean, Lamar immediately with the running game that they have with Jonathan Taylor coming back this year. Yeah, I think the Colts are become a big favorite in the division.
Yeah.
I think they definitely become a big favorite. But this doesn't surprise me that the Colts would get involved. And only because if you look at the situation, they need to win. Ursay wants to win. Ursay's aggressive. Chris Ballard needs to win. He's going to potentially be on the hot seat. The GM, they've got a brand new head coach. It's an offensive-minded coach that did great things with a dual-threat quarterback in Jalen Hurts and Shane Steichen. And then you look at, you know, likely 1-2 are going to be Stroud and Young. So who are you left with? Two guys who aren't ready to play right away.
Yep.
So that one does make sense.
A lot of sense.
And you go a fourth. You got the fourth pick of the draft, and then a first next year.
Yep.
I mean, if you're the Colts, you'd much now. The question is, would Lamar Jackson do it? Would he sign his tender to go to the Colts and go to Indianapolis?
Why not?
Well, I wonder if Indianapolis is something that he does. You know, how much is it about winning, and how much is about
he's playing
lifestyle?
Indoors.
No, I know.
Yeah,
he's in style. I mean, Indianapolis isn't like a baller city to hang out in.
He went to Louisville. Is he about a baller lifestyle?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, I just don't know enough about it.
I don't know. I think the Colts would be. I would hate for Lamar Jackson to end up with Colts. Hate it. Let's get Charlie in here. Hey, Charlie, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning. Hey, I just had a quick.
You did. It was really quick. Man, that was the
quickest. He said he had a quick would you rather.
Yeah,
call back in. I like would you rathers.
Would you? Would you rather?
See, my kids play this would you rather. Have you ever played the game would you rather with the cards? It's always the worst thing. Like, would you rather lose your hearing forever or lose your sight, or would you rather
this is
have
a wheelhouse thing.
Hair grow? Oh, do they do that
they
too?
Do, yeah, once a week or
yeah,
something.
It's on a card. There's a game called Would You Rather
for
these cards. It's like, would you rather have hair growing all over your body like a wolf, or would you rather lose your sight and your hearing? Like, this, I don't want to play games where there's...
No, it's stupid.
Let me have good things.
And I mean, I went on the wheelhouse one time after they played a game. Would you rather have to stop at every train track that you ever have to cross or never be able to turn right on red?
Right on red. Stop at the just stop like a stop sign?
No, you have to stop for a train at
no. Well, I don't go to a lot. Well, I don't feel like you go to a lot of train tracks, but I guess
bridges.
You live over by one.
Yeah, but I can go over the bridge all the time.
Bridge?
There's a bridge on West Park. West Park's got a bridge over it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I can go around it then.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. I like turning right.
Do we need to wrap it up? Oh, yeah, we got...
Oh, man, we got Seth Greenberg going to join us.
All right, so, Dannon, we see you. And anybody else that's on hold right now, sit tight. We'll get to your call. So you want to talk NFL draft and all that other stuff. Look at this. Callers are back. Callers are back from spring break.
All right. Seth Greenberg joining us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 right now. We're talking about Doc Linville. He's the best. Doc Linville is going to give you hair. I love Doc Linville. Doc Linville has done... It's so amazing how different it is when you do have hair, guys. It's so amazing. I heard Joel yesterday talking about it. I've heard Jake. We've got Fred did it. I mean, we've got four guys at least here that have done it, and it's just been spectacular for all of us. We all love it. I wouldn't endorse it unless I believed in it, and I really believe in it. If you're somebody that is your hair is falling out, if you're somebody that just hates to be bald, if you've already got a big bald spot, especially male pattern balding, but if you're losing your hairline, all of these things, you can fill it in, and it doesn't look like doll hair. It looks great. It looks fantastic because it is your hair. It's your hair that Doc Linville is just removing. That's all he does. He's a hair mover, not a hair replacer. He's a hair mover. He moves it from the side and back where that hair doesn't fall out. That hair is forever. And guess what? It's going to be forever on the top of your head. So if you're looking for the best way to move your hair from the sides and back to the top, there's only one place to go. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back. One of the best in the business is joining us right now, Seth Greenberg, ESPN college basketball expert here with us at Seth on Hoops, joining us this morning to talk. And we appreciate it. We know how busy you are this time of the year. Seth, thanks so much for being with us. Let's get right to it, our Cougs. And let's talk about, you know, they just haven't looked this postseason, including the AAC tournament, Seth. They just haven't looked all that great, especially defensively, which was – and then in the second half, two things. Tremont Mark, who has not been good this postseason, and then the defense against Auburn in that second half was fantastic. Is that the Cougs or the team that we had seen this postseason before that?
I think that, you know, look, you settle into the NCAA tournament. You settle into postseason play. You know, let's face it, Houston's season didn't start until the NCAA tournament. I mean, because that's basically everything they were working towards. I'm not sure the American Conference was much of a mystery. And I think it takes time to raise your temperature. But once they did, this, I said it on our game day show, the second half was the best they've played all season.
Yep.
There's no doubt about it. The second half was, and I keep on making this comparison, the backcourt of Houston reminds me of the backcourt of Baylor when they won national championship with Sasser being Davion Mitchell. And when I watched them in the second half, and I watched Sasser, and then I watched Tremont Mark, and then I watched, you know, Shed, and then I watched the front court do what they need to do, rebound, defend, play off the guards, set good screens, run the floor, do the things that they need to do, then all of a sudden, you saw a team that absolutely was dominating in the second half against an athletic, not a good Auburn team, but an athletic, hard-playing Auburn team. And so I was really impressed with the second half, and I think that's what basically Kelvin's been looking for. And that's what he's been looking for. He's been looking for them to raise their temperature, to have attention to detail. And maybe it was getting pushed. Maybe it was getting that the first half that they had, for them to get the realization, we're not invincible. We're going to play better teams. We need to be better. We need to have a greater attention to detail, and we need to play cooler basketball.
How? What about this matchup against Miami with this backcourt? This back, because they got a couple of nice guards. Wong was fantastic last game.
Look, Pac Wong, Jordan Miller, Wuga Poplar. Those guys are good players. I mean, like, to me, it's going to be a great matchup in the backcourt. And I think in the frontcourt, Norchad O'Meara can rebound the ball. He's a big physical body. Jordan Miller is a hard matchup. He is ridiculously skilled. Shoots it well enough to the three. Keep you honest. Can drive it. A relentless offensive rebounder. Really good hands. And they move him all over the court. So it's going to be a hard matchup. Like, if people say, oh, you know, no, it's not an easy matchup. And it's not, because they're very similar. They're both very good defensively. Even though Miami's defensive numbers aren't good, they're a defensive team. And they're going to play more pack line, so they're going to keep everything in front. They're going to force contested shots. They're going to take the gaps away so that, you know, where Sasser and Mark and Shed could turn the corner, there won't be those opportunities. You saw that happen the other day in what they did defensively. So, you know, I look at this Miami game, and I think this is going to be a really, really hard basketball game. I mean, Indiana, you know, they don't have the guards that obviously Houston has, but they couldn't. Jalen Hutchinson is a good player. He couldn't get downhill against those guys. Couldn't get downhill. So this is going to be, you know, the proverbial rock fight.
You know, Coach, as a guy who coached, you were head coach for 22 years and assistant for years before that. When you watch the Cougars, maybe me and John, my partner, make too big a deal of this. I don't know, but it feels like the attention to detail that you mentioned previously, the screens and everything Houston does. Do you look at Kelvin Sampson and his Cougar team and say, wow, this is, you know, they really buy in and are coachable more so than many of the teams I see. Do you have that wonderment like we do? Because this is not the most talented team. It's not a good shooting team. Like, it doesn't have the earmarkings of most typical blue blood one seed teams. And yet here they are now, year after year, they're getting deeper and deeper in the tournament. Do you see Kelvin Sampson as that type of head coach? Does he excite you with the way he gets guys to buy in and play for him?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I compare their culture and their identity to Villanova's under Jay Wright. There's 100%.
It's a good compliment there. Yeah.
It's for everything's for the good of the group. This is how you're expected to play. This is your role. This is what you need to buy into. And that's what they do. So, yeah, I mean, there's great buy-in. I mean, you know, look, Kelvin's not going to have it any other way now. There's not exactly a compromise when it comes to, you know, what they're going to do and how they're going to do it and why they're going to do it. I mean, it's going to be one way, and it's going to be his way. And that's the way it should be. You know, it's like parenting. You know, you tell your players to do certain things because you want to see them successful. You know, he's not going to tell them what they want to hear. He's going to tell them what they need to hear. And that's just, you know, that's the way Kelvin is. And I've known Kelvin, you know, we're close friends. I've known him forever. He's not going to compromise what he thinks is important to help those guys not only be better players, but the lessons you learn through, you know, playing should carry with you the rest of your life. That's the whole thing. I mean, that's the most important thing, is the lessons you learn should be part of the way you live your life the next 50, 60 years of your life. And, you know, those things, if you buy into, you know, working hard and being accountable and being the best version of yourself and being someone other people can trust and count on, then you know what? You know, those lessons on the court carry over to, you know, how you're going to be who you are as a person.
Seth Greenberg with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And looming in the wings, whoever wins, Miami or Houston, we think Houston, is Texas. And, Coach, I don't know that anybody's played better so far this first weekend than Texas did.
Yeah, Texas and UConn probably the most consistent. Texas is good. Six seniors. Six guys that are band together, a great, strong locker room, a terrific coaching staff, a style of play that's hard to play against, terrific guards, tough matchups like in Timmy Allen, a closer in Marcus Carr, a developing player in Dylan Dissu, who's been great in the tournament. Texas is playing really well, and two teams that are not going to give an inch. You know, that would be obviously huge for the state, but look, the basketball in the state of Texas is at a high level. And these two programs reflect that.
Absolutely. Seth Greenberg with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Who do you have coming out of each regional, Coach?
Yeah, right now I have Texas coming out of that region. I have Texas coming out of the South.
No.
I'm killing you. Well, I didn't say I was going to be a homer. I got Alabama coming out of the South. The East is an absolute mess. I had Duke coming out of that, but you know, I'm leaning towards Michigan State. And I don't know if they can defend Marquise Noel, but if they defend Marquise Noel and win that game, I think they come out of that region. And in the West, I had UConn, and I still have
them. Hey, UConn's really playing good basketball. That's a tough one. UConn's matched up in a tough bracket as well. What do you think of it's? It's interesting. There's not the same heat on Gonzaga this year that we've seen in the past, where they're the darlings of the not the darlings of the tournament. I mean, they've been the front runners and the favorites. I mean, but this year they're kind of not off the radar, but no one's really talking about them to win a national championship. Wouldn't that be something if they were able to, in a year where less was expected of them, step up and pull it off? That'd be an unbelievable accomplishment.
Yeah, it would be. And, you know, they're number three seed. It's not like they've fallen off the map.
Right, yeah.
You know, people are losing their mind. They're a number three seed. Excuse me. I'm losing my voice here. But they can. They're defending better. Drew Timmy's a tough matchup. Swather is a tough matchup. The guard play's improved as the season went along. Excuse me. They're definitely a team that can advance. UCLA is as well.
Oh yeah, no, it's those three. I looked at the odds, and those three teams, all three of those teams that have been mentioned, they're all equal odds right now to come through. So obviously, that's going to be whoever comes out of there is going to be battle tested. Well, listen, Seth, we know you got a busy morning, and we don't want to keep you any longer. You got to protect that voice. We're in the business, so we understand.
No doubt.
So protect that voice. Get your water. Get the vocal folds good and lubricated, and then get ready for more basketball, because we're on the way. I'm sure there's going to be a very, very busy week for you, and we'll close out that way. We'll hopefully get a chance to see you here in Houston when you come in.
Yeah,
Sounds great, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, right, thanks. Sorry for your Texas pick, though.
Hey, everyone's making a Texas pick.
I know.
And I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, I don't know who the favorite will be right now.
It'll be that's going to be a pick'em probably. Yeah. That's going to be a pick'em if the Cougs if they both get there, that'll be fun.
It would be Sunday if it happens. I was looking at I was looking at tickets because I was considering going, and but I forgot I've got something I have to do on Friday, so I'm not going to be able to go. And then I thought, I could leave on Saturday. Drive up to Kansas City if it turns into Houston versus...
Drive up to Kansas City. That's something I would never
say. Well, I don't want to do that. The wife wants to do that. You're right. It's like 10 hours.
But there is a flight. A Coug fan told me there's a flight in the morning, and it comes back...
How much is it? 900?
And it comes back at 8:30 that night. And so you could go to that. You can actually... It falls inside. I think the game's going to be at 2:30 in the afternoon on Sunday. It'd fall in perfectly.
Really?
So you can get there in the morning and get and leave that night.
I did that for the national championship game against USC. We flew out there and flew back red-eyed back. We didn't even stay. Yeah. That was a good day. It was a good day when they win.
Yeah, it was a good day because they won. But that's a terrible trip. 4 hours there, 4 hours back in the game.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It was.
That's a long day.
It was a long day. Nope. Trust me.
But you can do that on this one, I think. I'm probably sold out by now. What with, you know, all the Cougs fans heading up there.
You mean the flight?
The flight, yeah.
What was it on?
I don't want to reveal that, so in case I want to go. I'm not giving away my secret flight. Yeah, all you have to do is look it up. It's time for you to talk insurance, my friend.
Well, TGS Insurance is an aggregator of homeowner insurance. So, you know, there will be five different, for example, they may have 5, 7, 9. I don't know how many total there are. I know there are a lot of A-rated companies. They've got them all. because some of the big names, you know, are underwritten by some of the carriers that you'll have access to. So you're not really taking care of any kind of middleman costs here. What they do is they find competitive rates for you. They shop A-rated companies with their algorithm. And this is what makes them special is they can find these rates within seconds. You text the word money to 232323. They ask you what your address is. You send it back. Within 15 seconds, you're going to have a firm quote from an A-rated insurance company. A firm quote for standard coverage. And standard coverage is probably what you have right now. Now, if you need to get additional coverage, like, you know, you want more on your gun collection or your mink coats or your jewelry or whatever. If you want additional coverage, they can do that as well. Flood coverage, they do that as well. But when it comes to your standard coverage, which most of us have, they're going to get that quote to you within 15 seconds, and you can check right away whether or not you have, you know, the most competitive rate out there. Chances are you don't. And this is how you put more of your money, your hard-earned money, back in your pocket. Don't just throw away money just because you're too lazy to shop for insurance. Not easy to sit on the phone all day long. But when you text the word money to 232323, hours of research is done in a matter of seconds. TGS Insurance, text the word money to 232323.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!